Well, who is being preached to you each and every Sunday? Christ and Him crucified, as the Apostle Paul put it, or humanity and it improved? Ask that question. It's an important one. It's really the center of this conference that we're having here at the Linden United Reformed Church on October 9 and 10 as we look at what the design and the mandate of Christian ministry is. Christ-centered Christianity in an age of spiritual chaos. Dr. W. Robert Godfrey from Westminster Seminary, California. He will be speaking to us Friday, October 9 at 7 p.m. on Christ at the Center of the Church. Saturday, October 10, 2009, he'll speak again at 9 a.m. on Christ at the Center of Worship. I will be speaking at 10:30 on Christ at the Center of Preaching. He will follow up after lunch on Christ at the Center of Salvation, and then we'll have a question and answer period. So look, the conference is free of charge. It will be held at the church here, Linden United Reformed Church. For more information, give us a call, 360-318-0429, or you may visit us on the web at www.lindenurc.com. Again, I can't impress upon you enough how important this conference is in our day that I guarantee you will glean a lot. We'll have a book table, we'll have the CDs, refreshments, and a time of growing in our understanding of Christ's design of His church. Well, now, let's turn to the radio broadcast.
It's birth, it's life, it's renewal, encouragement for the day. It is the Word of God, and it's right where we find ourselves today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us as we study God's Word together. Coming to you from United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We welcome you to the broadcast and would invite you to join us for the next few moments as we open up God's Word, studying God's Word that we might find life. With this edition of Abounding Grace now, again from United Reformed Church here in Linden, once again, our teacher and pastor, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, we're so glad you've tuned in on this Thursday session of Abounding Grace, and you know that we've been working for the past few weeks through this wonderful parable of the prodigal son. I'm going to read the whole thing today and bring some concluding thoughts before us as we close this study and again reflect upon what bearing this has upon us as individual Christians and as the church today. A certain man says Jesus had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided to them his livelihood, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found,' and they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he's received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. You know, this parable, my friends, is more about the father's love than about the prodigal's, isn't it? It's more jolting and shocking about the older brother than the younger, because the younger brother has come home. The younger brother has repented. The younger brother has turned from his error of his way. He came to himself. He was in the pigsty. He was feeding with the pods that the pigs ate, and he went and joined himself to another master, but he's home now. The father came running after him. But there was the older son in the house who rejected this, who was angry. He wouldn't even come in. And that was a moving, moving scene for us, because essentially what it showed us is that the true prodigal was the one inside the house. The true one who had defected from the love of the father, the true one that had defected from being a true son in the house, was the one underneath the roof. You see, we must come to this point of understanding this. The older son was so far removed from his father that we read in verse 28, he was angry, indignant. He would not go in, and actually took the father. It took the father going out to him. How similar, what a twist there, isn't it? The father went outside and ran to the younger brother when he came home. And now the father has to go out to the older brother who was in the house. You see, verse 29, so he answered, this is the older brother, "Lo, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time." See the self-righteousness in that? "I never transgressed your commandment, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came," notice the hatred, by the way, "who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." Here finally, after being all these years in the father's house, his hypocrisy, the hypocrisy of the older brother, comes to light. Notice that he stresses the fact that he's been with the father and kept all of his commandments. No, he hasn't. He didn't even see his own heart. He didn't realize that being in the house, his heart was still corrupt and self-righteous. And that makes us ask, have we come to see that? We who claim Christianity, we who claim to believe, have we come to see our own hearts? Are we self-righteous in our approach to God and his kingdom? Isn't it interesting that Luke includes another parable of the same two figures referenced at the beginning of our parable? You know, at the beginning of this parable in Luke 15, what do we have? "Now the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him," this is Jesus, "to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Well, this is immediately following this parable. "Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" The point of Jesus is that there is no place for the self-righteous in the kingdom of heaven. And here the older brother almost rebukes the father with this statement, "This son of yours," as if maybe he's your son, but he's not my brother. And my friends, this parable, we have the essence of true and false religion. A true Christian sees that his heart is corrupt, falls before our Lord with repentance, with longing to know God, to be with him, and a thirsting for him every day of life, looking only to the living one who is able to give that living water. True religion is not a cold, dry, dead thing done out of empty duty, of which there's no appreciation for the Father. No, no. True Christianity is vibrant. It's alive. It's full of a desire to know and to love God who saved you. A hypocrite always feels that he's been mistreated, treated unfairly. Always points to his good works, involvement, whatever the means by which he thinks God should be pleased with him. You see, how possible it is to be in the church, to do a lot of right things according to the word, and even do it with conviction, and yet all of it with a resentful heart, with a heart that is hard and bitter. May that never be found in any of us. So the parable leaves us with an open-ended question. The father comes to the old son and pleads with him. And he said to him, "Son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." You see, the older brother's fundamental misunderstanding was that the feast was not for the younger son. I say that again. The feast was not for the younger son. It was for the father. The feast was the result of his joy for the return of his son. You see, God is preparing a feast to dine with those who have turned to Jesus in true repentance and faith. So, which son do you identify with? I pray that in some way you see your life through the one whom we often designate as the prodigal son. The one who, though he had run, came back, came to himself, fell before his father and cried out, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Give me a place in your house." That's the attitude. The question then is, will the older brother come into the feast? We're not told. But the point is that Jesus has come to seek and to save that which has been lost. He's come to claim through his precious blood a multitude that no man can number. And we should rejoice just as the angels in heaven, as God himself rejoices when sinners come into his kingdom and finds life. Have you come before this Jesus as a true son?
Exercising our minds, hearts, and affections towards Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden, studying God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. Thank you for joining us. As always, we leave you with our address and phone number if you'd like to contact us. Maybe you have a question, comment about the broadcast. Maybe you'd like to join us for worship or a prayer request. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. Again, that phone number is 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about us, you can visit our website. A lot of information there, lindenurc.com. Again, that's lindenurc.com. As always, you're welcome to write 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, that phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you're planning a visit, we would love to see you. In fact, let one of the ushers know you're invited by the radio broadcast, won't you? That would encourage us a great deal. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. We're at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. For the directions, you can either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or call us 360-318-0429. Again, 360-318-0429. Our desire here at Abounding Grace is that you grow in Christ. If there's anything we can do to help you in that endeavor, please feel free to contact us. And then join us again next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.